Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Diana Long. It's Wednesday at 3 o'clock, so we're going to be talking social justice issues and arts and artists and activism. Today, hopefully, we've got artist Kara Shortall on the radio. Kara, are you there?
Hi, yeah, I'm here, Diana. Thanks.
Hi, Kara. So,
hi.
Today we have Kara. She is an artist and she is an activist. And Kara's from Ireland and she's currently visiting us here in Chicago. And I'd like to ask her a few questions and see what's up. So, Kara, I understand that you wrote your thesis on performance as protest on artistic activism. Can you tell me a little bit about what you wrote about?
Yeah, no problem. Well, I wrote about, I gave three examples of performance, kind of had a really impressive impact that were very effective. They weren't in Ireland, but one of them was the Standing Man performance, which was in Turkey. And it was during the Occupy movement there where the authorities were clearing out the square and like they were essentially stopping the peaceful protest being held. But the standing man, they weren't allowing groups to gather. So he got around this by going on his own and staging a performance where he simply just stood really still and didn't say anything with his hands in his pockets for hours and hours. And people joined in and they understood what he was. And it was one of these protests that it kind of caught on through Twitter and, was spread through social media. But what was really effective about that was because, you know, it attracted so much media presence that it would look really bad if the authorities, and it was so peaceful that and passive that it would look so bad if the authorities responded violently to that. So it was really successful in kind of creating an audience and putting the authorities in an awkward situation, which highlighted kind of the out of control of violence that they had been responding with and put them in a situation where they can't really do that again. Another example,
this took place in?
Yeah, in Turkey.
Turkey,
in
okay. That's
Square.
Yeah. Right.
And another example, which you're probably familiar with, they're an American duo called the Yes Men. So they kind of pull these satirical pranks and their technique is over identification. So they'll pull a prank where they're posing as maybe, you know, like extreme kind of neoliberal capitalist. And they've kind of blagged their way onto the news, posing as like heads of BP oil or like other kind of companies as that. And, they've just, so they kind of over-identify with the ideology and make it seem laughable. And so they trick people into to see how far they could go along. So it's kind of about that. Those are our case studies. So it's just sort of showing how how art can be really useful to get an audience, but also just to communicate the message better than words. And it can be just used to kind of to stage a certain situation which puts pressure on your target and makes them listen.
Yeah, I personally really like performance art a lot. I was in a group called Sisters of Clarity for a while, and we posed as nuns and did unusual things dressed as nuns, and it really captured people's attention. And they would really watch what we were doing, and there was three of us, and we really enjoyed being comedic and talking about social justice issues and at the same time. So, I appreciate that a lot.
Like I think it's important, like the satire uses humor to get across the point, you know.
Right.
And another group that they kind of use more like the visual performances is Liberate Tate. So they protest in the Tate Gallery in London, which is a really big contemporary art institution. But controversially, they're sponsored by BP Oil. So this group go in there and they use a kind of like a fake substance that looks like oil on stage. You know, they throw around this oil and they make a mess and they dress with like look like veils at a funeral. And they do some really impressive visual things. But all of these ideas are to make a scene, to kind of embarrass their target publicly in front of an audience, and to make a scene. So that's what I quite like. And they do it in a visual way, which gets across the point. So they'd have you know, like a nude person sort of hunched on the ground, and they cover them in this oil-like substance. So it's to draw attention and like pose the question: is it moral that you know, a major art institution like the Tate that should be sponsored by BC?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, considering their involvement in, you know, the Gulf of Mexico oil stuff.
Yeah. Even just the words, they take the oil and throw it around recklessly. Yeah, that's kind of what we're all talking about anyways. Oh, okay, yeah. That's very interesting. So, you know, in the United States, we've always heard about a lot of things going on in Ireland. And So I was quite interested to hear what kinds of things you're involved in. That's our doggy friends in the background. So you had said that... you could talk about your activities as a creative person and some actions that you had been involved in Ireland. You said that you've been involved in the pro-choice movement, attending protests and meetings and joining in the creative direct action groups of the pro-choice campaign made up of artists and creative people. Tell me about that. What kinds of things did people get involved in, and what was that like?
Okay, well, there was basically, you know, that's been quite an important issue for decades in Ireland, but the movement was sparked up again, you know, after a death of a woman in 2012. So that was kind of when it was the first time the issue reached my generation, and a lot of people got involved. And so the abortion rights campaign was set up by people who have been campaigning for a long time but had a lot of like new and young members. So the Creative Direct Action Group, some artists. It was led by an artist called Siobhan Clancy. And it was it was led by an artist called Siobhan Clancy. Who actually went to my college. So my background is I study visual arts in the National College of Art and Design. A lot of my friends would have gotten into it because there's a very vibrant feminist society in the college. So that's the kind of attend. We made banners. We made banners which said "Never again" for this death of the woman Teresa Halepanovar, and kind of did stencils of her face on it. And we weaved lights into the banners. We kind of made them all there. You know, recycled plastic poles. They're really nice. Throughout the campaign, we did a quilting workshop, a patchwork. We made a big banner like that. We'd stage banner drops from the main bridges. The Liffey runs through the city centre in Dublin. So if you hang something off the bridges there, it's a big public space, and it'll be seen. So we've done that a lot for a big protest. Also, one of the activists has an apartment on O'Connell Street. So she can hang a vertical banner going all the way from the rooftop all the way down. So that's been a really nice gesture. And O'Connell Street is a very politically significant location in Dublin because it's where the 1916 Rising happened, which is the beginning of the Irish War for Independence and the Revolution and all that. So we made a zine we had a typewriter in an office, and so we just cut and pasted it together, and we made it with the photocopier and, you know, stapler and everything. So we handmade some stamps ourselves from rubbers, so we had our own lettering. And we had a section of it which said, "I am pro-choice because," and then all the different members of the group would fill in reasons why they would be pro-choice. One of the girls, she told her own personal abortion story, which has been a very important aspect of the whole campaign, is that to break the silence, to break the stigma, so people understand, okay, so, you know, here's a woman that we love and respect, and she's just telling a story, you know, she's just human, that was the best choice for her. We made some photo boards, so we painted these images of strong, like a strong woman, like from a circus kind of thing, and also a bearded lady, and they were wearing sashes, which said, my body, my choice, those kind of slogans, and people will put, people put their face into the hole and they take photos, and they were in the campaign colours, which are purple, teal, and yellow, so they'd be really popular. We'd bring them around to events. Some other things we've done. A postcard was made, which with theme of like an Irish holiday. So it said, "Greetings from Ireland, failing to legislate for abortion since 1992. And that was a campaign where we went around to different colleges and different events, and people got the opportunity, like normal people, whoever got the opportunity to fill out this postcard, which was calling for legislation, and send it to all their local their local TDs, which is, your local representative. So they were all sent to the local representative office. And we had a photo shoot around that theme. So it was, the call was to legislate before the summer break. So we had a photo shoot, which was kind of summer theme with like baskets and sunglasses and, it was kind of a bit tongue-in-cheek. For the March for Choice, which would be the annual march, as like a visual symbol, everyone was invited to bring a wheelie suitcase. So this is to reference the fact that, Irish abortion exists. It's just that it doesn't really happen in Ireland. Everyone has to go to the UK or further abroad. So the suitcases are to reference, the Ryanair trip to London or Liverpool or wherever. And also just, to play on the word of like emotional baggage, because it's a really hard experience for some women, because they're made criminals, it's made illegal, and they have to go so far. Another symbol we used was, we got some red tape, and we kind of, a protest, we'd tape that over our mouth in an X shape. So just as a comment on, women being silent. So we'd use this as our, and we'd have our signs with our messages. So we'd use this at our own protest, but also, we attended one of the anti-choice protests. They have their own big marches as well. So we had like a counter protest, just kind of stand at the side. But we didn't want to engage or argue with them at all. But our presence was there, but it was a silent protest, and so we had the X's over our mouth as well. And that's also a reference to the X case too, which is a case that happened in 1992 where a 14-year-old girl was raped by a neighbour, and she was suicidal, and she was trying to travel to the UK for an abortion, and she was stopped from travelling by the Irish authorities. So that was like, that was a really big, a really big case, which was around the time I was born, So, there's some people who've been campaigning for this for so many years, and there's some people like myself who is just kind of the last 2 years. Other things that we've done is we've done a kind of another kind of photo shoot thing, and it's like, again, it can be shared on social media around the phrase "I am not a vessel," because there was last year there was a UN Human Rights Convention, and basically the chairperson concluded that this is an awful situation, and the Irish government is essentially treating rape women as vessels. As an incubator, essentially. So we'd make these signs, which would point to a cup and just say, "This is a vessel and this is a woman. This is a cup, this is a woman, I am not a vessel." Or, a sign pointing to a ship, that's a vessel. Just to kind of get the point across, because the anti-choice people, obviously feel that it's irrelevant to how the woman feels. But we've had some really good social events, kind of to get the community together after marches. We screen pro-choice films. We show art. And there's a punk band called Sissy. So they did a performance at our last big event. We have a Speak Out for Choice, which is it's just a safe space where people, if they want to, can tell their abortion story without any kind of comments or critique. But people have found it very therapeutic and kind of, empowering experience, because for a lot of people, a lot of Irish women, they might keep it a secret forever, They might have not talked to anybody about it. Around Christmas time, as a separate event, we'd sing Christmas carols again on the main street of Ireland, O'Connell Street. But we'd replace all the lyrics with things like, "We the people need your aid. Hurry up and legislate. Hurry up, repeal the 8th." So things like that. So the 8th Amendment is again the law that says, essentially the unborn is equal to the one, which means you can't have an abortion unless the woman, is at risk of dying. So there's another group called Imelda, and they're very impressive. They're a small group made of Irish performance artists which live in London, and Imelda stands for Ireland Making England the Legal Destination for Abortion. And they've had a really good performance where they surprised Enda Kenny, who is the Irish Prime Minister. He was at a fancy fundraising dinner in London, and they kind of went in essentially like flash mob, and they have this campaign called Knickers for Choice. So Knickers is, panties in the air in Irish lingo. And so they went in there and they kind of said, they were like, "Welcome to London, where 12 women a day come to, get their abortion or whatever." And, addressed it to Enda Kenny and kind of gave him the knickers and sort of like called for the legislation to repeal the 8th. It's a publicity stunt, and it gets the news, yeah. But it embarrasses him. You don't expect it, because they're popping up in an unusual context. And, we have our march from O'Connell Street to the Parliament, but you're not going to see these people, so it's kind of good to plan little surprising things like that. There was also a comedian very recently who, there's a lot of people who are not heavily involved in the campaign, but they use their profiles, or they might, journalists have come out and told their personal stories, and that's really helpful. But there's a comedian who had kind of just a humorous take on it, and she basically tweeted the details of her menstrual cycle to the Prime Minister Enda Kenny. So it's just a kind of funny thing where it's sort of saying, okay, well, if you think, my body is so much of your business, do you want to know all the gory details, basically? And again, it made lots of news. So you have people giving out saying, "Oh, this is outrageous, how unladylike," and whatever. But yeah. So those kind of things.
It drew attraction. People noticed. That's good.
So that brings us up to really where we are recently. You do get some kind of more radical actions as well. In Northern Ireland, there's a group called Women on Web, and they provide cheaply for Irish women who need it. You can write them an email and get in contact with them. An abortion pill for an early term, so it's essentially you can procure your miscarriage at home with this pill, and it is quite safe and a simple, straightforward thing. But again, it's illegal, so it can be a scary experience for women if they decide to take it, and then they're afraid to go to hospital, and they can't really say they've taken this. Essentially, they're criminals and they could go to jail for 14 years. But there's a group that collected, a group called Rosa, and they're an offshoot of the Socialist Party. They're like Abortion Rights Campaign, essentially, just from the Socialist Party. And they collected a lot of these pills, and they kind of did a publicity stunt where they toured a bus around Ireland They essentially announced, okay, we're in Galway City, we're in Cork, we're in all the like major towns and cities, and we have a doctor with us, so you can come and talk to the doctor, and if you want and need, it's appropriate, we can give, you know, we can provide this for free. So it's deliberately like, and that's completely breaking the law, but there's such a hypocrisy in Ireland where it's kind of like, that's against the law, but, and they're saying, yeah, okay, we're doing this, arrest us. They're not going to get in trouble for that at all, because it would just cause more outrage, you know. So Ireland has been famously slow to kind of, you know, to catch up with the rest of the world in terms of condoms, which were, you know, still illegal in the 70s. So the Irish feminists of the 70s, they got a train to Belfast, and they made an action of this, but they got a ship from the condoms and they brought them back. And they didn't do it quietly. Like, they had banners. They were making a stunt of what they were doing. And it was like, okay, so we're doing this. Contraception is illegal. Arrest us. And again, they're not reprimanded at all. Like, if any police officer, I heard a story that a police officer kind of came up to these sort of people and they thought they were in trouble. And then he said, no, I just want them for my wife, you know? So it's that kind of thing where the law is just so far behind public opinion, you know? The law is just very slow to catch up. And, you know, it's just very, you know, the Conservative Party in government now, and it's just hesitant. And, you know, the church, like the remains of that kind of connection and everything. So that action with the pills is kind of inspired by the 70s feminists who achieved that, because shortly after their condom train from Belfast, Ireland, it was very quickly legalized and there was no problem at all. And the sort of commentary around it was like, oh, you know, it would be the downfall of Irish society. And there was all this talk as if, like, the sky would fall down. And no, nothing. divorce was only legalized in the 90s. So you can see the pattern going on here.
Yeah. It's interesting. People think that, you know, things have been going on for a long time, or they've had their rights for a long time, or whatever, you know. I'm kind of curious to know what the pro-choice movement, I know you can't speak for everyone, but what do people think about the kind of what's going on here in the United States with, you know, women are fighting really hard to maintain the right to abortion here in the United States, and every day losing headway here. And is there any talk of that that you know of in Ireland, or are you aware of that?
There is an awareness of it, definitely, because, you know, we'd always look outside to the work other campaigns and countries have done to see what we can learn from that. But, you know, also hearing about the rollbacks in the United States, and it's happening in Spain as well. Guess, you know, it's just, we know it, like, it's not, you have, unfortunately, it might have to be an ongoing fight. So it's like, you might eventually get a win and get it all brought in. But I guess it's like, beyond legislation, you need to have people with you, and you need to have the heart, you know, the heart and mind, and you need to have the will, because, you know, if another government change, yeah, that's the thing, you really have to keep it up. It's like, it's kind of, it's like an unfortunate thing, but we are aware of that. I don't know. I mean, the pro-choice movement in America, like, it's always very inspiring to hear about that. You know, that, like, millions of people protested and, you know, Roe v. Wade. You know, you got laws through at a time where it was very conservative government, but it was still done because it was just there's so many people behind it. Ireland, it traditionally has this reputation as a country that's very bad protesting and kind of doesn't bother, that we just sort of like tolerate and, you know, be quiet and don't challenge, whatever. But that's not really been true in the last 3 or 4 years. It's a big change, you know. Like, we've had mass protests in terms of people about water charges and that kind of thing. So you've seen, you know, 50,000 people come out, and that's a big, I mean, it might not sound big to you, but that's a really big thing in terms of a protest in Dublin, you know. Because I'm small city, so yeah.
Okay.
like I've been really happy to kind of get involved in these kind of things, because the type of attitude that some people will have in Ireland, or maybe in general, if they think, oh, you know, protest is futile, what's the point? That is a big problem, and you're not going to get anywhere if you have that attitude, because that's going to stop you taking action.
Right.
So the important thing for me that, you know, that I am really lucky that I got politicized through this cause is that you understand, like, the potential of your own power. You're aware of power structures, and you're aware of, like, the potential of your own power and other people's power if they work together and don't just kind of give up. And I think you've got a force. You've got to kind of bring about these changes. You'd be waiting a long time if you're going to wait for the government to decide to do it themselves.
So, or things may never happen, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know who originally said it, but apathy, the deadliest weapon of mass destruction. I think apathy is, hurts everything. So when people sit around and think somebody else is going to do the work, or somehow it's going to happen, but I don't need to do anything, or I don't, you know, whatever. So anyways, I'm really glad you could join us on the radio today. And I appreciate your time, and good luck with your work in Ireland and working on behalf of Women's Choice. And just wish you all the best with that. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thanks very much, Diana. Thank you to you.
All right.
Bye
for now. So we've been talking with Cara Shortle. She is an activist from Ireland. She's also an artist. And she is currently visiting Chicago to see what we're busy doing in Chicago. And everybody knows there's a lot of things going on right now in Chicago talking about protest. Protest has been making a difference in Chicago right now. Everybody knows that recently protests led to the dismissal of the top cop in Chicago and might lead to some other changes. So if you're thinking about going out there and making a difference, protesting for change, do it. It can make a difference. And if you don't do it, who's going to do it? So I want to make sure that you take some time to make a difference. Let change begin with you. So for now, I'm going to say goodbye for today, for Wednesday. Good luck with everything you're working on. Go make change. Bye now.
Chicago's Black Business Radio Network, all black, all news, all you.
Listen to Tracy E. Lewis on Fridays at 10 a.m. Central Standard Time for the inside story on real estate investment. Coming up on Wednesdays at 3 p.m. is Diana Long with Art and Social Justice Issues. On Tuesdays at 9 a.m., listen to Akeem Ugo with news for the passive real estate investor. Listen to CBBM Business Journals Monday through Friday at 11 a.m. and listen to the Tough Questions noon with host Sonia Cassandra Perdue. Visit us at Chicago's, that's Chicago with an S, Chicago's Black Business Radio Network.com. To be a sponsor, give us a call at 773-609-2226. To sponsor an upcoming episode, call us at 773-609-2226. Thank you.
Chicago's Black Business Radio Network, all black, all news, all you.
Let me tell you about the Peace Parks of North London project. We are creating a peace park from a vacant lot, one part of the park at a time, one weekend at a time. We are volunteers wanting to make a difference. The park will be for the people of Chicago, especially the residents of North London. Would you like to help? Please RSVP for the day and time. You can help by leaving a message on 773-542-9126 or send email to contact@urbanartretreat.com. We work each Saturday and Sunday, noon to 4 p.m. Join us weekends through November 2015.